Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
You gotta give us a shot.
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot.
Excuse me one second. Hey, whoever's got that, turn that off. Just turn it off.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Clapback Sports. I am your host, Demage. As always, I'm joined by my beautiful co-host, Murph. Say what's up to the people, Murph. Murph, it helps if you unmute your mic. Be professional.
Excuse me. I have COVID-20. It's making me a little delusional right now, so I apologize for that. But I do also have a freedom boner right now. I just got done watching Miracle on Ice, so I'm ready to go, dude. We got some Giants news, and just feeling it. Let's rock and roll.
Tino, how are you, Tino?
I don't have a freedom boner. I wish I did. It sounds great. I'm a little sad. Murph can understand why. Syracuse was seconds away from down in the one seed in the ACC tournament. They lost at the buzzer. It's okay. Here's a nice moment. They were tied at 69 each, 69-69. So that's a win. That's a win in itself. Here's some good news too, Mage. We have a sponsor today. We have ourselves a sponsor here on Clapback Sports. I'm happy to introduce Primetime Sports Talk. Today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including daily fantasy advice, and they also have great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesports.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, that's primetimesportstalk.com, your go-to spot for sports content. And we're also a pretty good spot for sports content as well here at Clapback Sports, if I do say so myself, Mage.
Absolutely. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at @clapback_sports, where Murph has taken the account hostage. We'll get into that later. And make sure you follow us on Twitter as well, @Demage_NFL, and follow Tino @TinoRodriguez_ at the end. So, boys, we have a lot of news. After a couple weeks of going through a dry spell, the Giants have finally made moves. The Giants have placed a franchise tag on Leonard Williams, and we also cut Kevin Zeitler, something I know that we've talked about here on the show. So let's just get started with the Leonard Williams news. Murph, where are you on this in terms of the Leonard Williams news? He got tagged, so it's going to be a 19.4 franchise tag for 2020, unless they don't work something out before the 17th.
Well, you're talking about me holding the Twitter account hostage. In a good way, Leo's kind of holding the Giants hostage, right? I don't think that we can really do much else until we kind of figure this situation out. I've been thinking about this all day. The Giants have been built, their history is built on defensive linemen, no? I mean, we had Tuck, we had OC, we had JPP, and Stray, right? And I was just reminiscing on that this morning.
80s and 90s were mostly linebackers, but...
I'm sorry?
80s and 90s were mostly linebackers.
Which is fine, pass rushers, whatever, guys that get to the quarterback. Built on defense. And I was thinking about it this morning, we were talking to our buddy about it as well in our chat. We would have had no problem dishing out this kind of money to those guys back then. Granted, I know things have changed and the contracts have gotten outrageous, but this is where we are, man. I mean, that he performed, so he's going to get his bag. But with that being said, after the pressers this week, I kind of feel like they're definitely trying to work something out long-term before they do anything else. I don't feel like Leo's going to play on this tag personally. But I'm not ruling it out. I could
But, Murph, Leo did like something that said that he would not be here next season.
He did. Somebody said he went back and unliked it, too. I did see that. I don't know, man. I don't know how I feel about it all, but I'm glad he's back. I'm glad that we know that we have him. I'm also not going to put it past Dave Gettleman to do any crazy shit like rescind the tag if you can't get a deal done. It won't be a Josh Norman situation, but, like I started this off, his contract's kind of holding us hostage from the free agent market.
Let me stop you there. So I do agree with you only because I don't think that we're going to go into the season carrying the 19.4. And if you heard the presser, Gettleman even kind of said that, look, like, we have to get below that number, the 19.4 franchise tag. This was something that Tino and I talked about on his podcast on the New York Football Pod as well. He brought me on as a cap specialist just to talk about this because, I mean, I don't know. He apparently knows no one else.
Well, so, you know something? In my defense, I think, and I mean this as a compliment, me and you are almost salary cap and football for dummies. We're the big yellow book. And so, you know, if we can explain it to the people at home, I think anyone can. And that's why I brought you on, because they understand us, Mage. We know how to communicate with the people. That's why so many people tune in to Clapback Sports. They just get us. They understand it.
We're a man and the people. But, Tino, don't go anywhere yet.
Sure. I'm right here.
So are the Giants going to pay Leo the 19.4, or do they extend him? What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm kind of where Murph is at, where I also don't think he's going to play on the tag. And, you know, it's still a head scratcher. I think they have to extend him. And the whole situation with us in free agency, I think, you know, you guys already touched on it briefly, but it's contingent on Leo. I don't think we can do anything until that situation's worked out, because, I mean, right now we're going to restructure Solder, but Leo's going to be the most expensive paid player on this team. I mean, one way or another. So I think we have to wrap our head around that. I think they have to extend him. And look, we talked about it extensively, but Leo's worth it. We've talked about it on this show too, the last couple of months. He's worth it. He's worth his due. It's just about getting the numbers right. The thing is, I mean, with the Giants, it's like, are we going to get this in time to become players on, you know, certain free agents, you know, next week when everything starts up? I mean, we have to be, but like last year, we were very patient with free agency, and I can't tell if we're going to be that way yet. I think everyone's saying that we're going to be aggressors, and, you know, there's a lot of Fugaz out there, the Bud Dupree news, and, you know, Galladay, whether we'll get him or not. I just feel like you saw it even with Logan Ryan last minute. Like, I feel like we talked about Malcolm Butler. I feel like if that happens, it's going to be very late after the big signings under the radar. I think the Giants are going to take the same approach for some reason. I want us to be big fish hunting. I just don't know if we're going to have everything sorted out and be aggressive enough in time to do that, because free agency just pops off as soon as that fucking ticker starts next week. So we got to handle Leo first before we could do anything. And even when that happens, I don't know what the next move is. We still have a lot of cleaning up to do. I mean, there's still a lot of things to get sorted out.
So, you know, after signing Leo, or at least the franchise tag being applied to the Giants salary cap, as of right now, they only have $3.2 million in space. I guess we could say goodbye to Kenny Galladay. We could say goodbye to Corey Davis as of right now. Those players don't seem to fit in here. I don't know where those other moves are going to come from. The other elephant in the room is Nate Solder. He's still scheduled to make $16.5 million this year. Do we think that the Giants restructure him? What do we think happens with Nate Solder, Murph?
I think it's going to be a little bit before we find out what's going on with Nate. I mean, Joe obviously said he's talked to him on a personal basis, not too much football. And then Nate's kind of, I don't even know what you want to call it. He put a little statement out earlier this week, just basically everything that he's gone through over the last couple of years, how he admitted that he wasn't fully prepared for his first season with the Giants. He had other things going on in his life, and it takes a man to do that. So I do give him credit on that. You know, we see the Giants take care of the players in the past. I think it's going to be a wait and see approach. My whole thing with Nate is he's not going to get shit on the open market. So you can lowball him and still going to be more than what he's going to get on the open market. And then, you know, as I keep saying, I read the tea leaves, man. He came to New York for a reason outside of football. So in my opinion, if Nate wants to be back, he'll be back. But I don't think that we will see anything as far as that anytime soon. But, you know,
let me just piggyback off of that for a second, because, you know, in our jobs, right, when we have stuff going on at home, sometimes we take it to work with us as well. The problem is that we're not scrutinized by millions of people on live TV for our performance. So I think that that's something that you spoke of that I think kind of goes unseen a little bit. Now, granted, he wasn't a great tackle prior to signing with the Giants either. But to have what he's going through with his son, when you're studying playbook and you're going through the offensive game plan and you're worried about assignments, and I'm sure he has other things that are going on in his mind at that time. So I would like to give him the benefit of the doubt, but it's so hard because in the sport of football, it's a performance-based sport. And he hasn't performed well in the seasons that he's been here. So he has to show a little bit more. Tino, where are you on the Nate Solder?
So as you guys were talking, because I knew he posted something about it yesterday, and it's pretty much what everyone was, you know, using as headline clickbait. Nate posted something at theincrease.com, kind of his own blog, just summarizing everything. And at the end, he says, if I have another chance to, you know, play football, I'll probably take it. But I'm thankful for the decision I made last year for my family and community. I think all of us as a whole understood his situation last year. I do think it kind of forces the Giants' hand this year because of the way it's all working out. And Nate obviously has to be open to taking that pay cut. But at the same time, I think while reading this, he understands that, you know, he's not worth the money he's supposed to be getting. I think he's not, you know, oblivious to it. And I just think it's a really like hard situation, man. I mean, there's a lot of outside factors involved in it, you know, stuff beyond football. So I think he's open to it, but there's a lot of, you know, sensitive information to work out in terms of, you know, taking care of certain things, where the pay cut's exactly coming from, making sure certain things are still covered on his end. So, you know, I know he's open to it. I don't know how significant the pay cut will be. I mean, if we could save $10 million, I mean, shit, that'd be fantastic. But again, I think it's something, the more I'm realizing it, is that it's going to take time. And as much as I want the Giants to be ready and geared up for free agency, I just don't see how this stuff gets resolved within the next 7 days. I think
that's what makes it so important to wrap Leo up, because they're not going to have a Nate decision. It's kind of ass backwards, but I mean, you're going to have to probably address Leo before you address Nate, and the clock's ticking, man. I mean, it really is. We're playing with fire here, but also, you know, I don't know, Mace, you ready to move on to the next topic and to Zeitler?
Cause this well, goes right in. You guys, two more questions. First of all,
okay. Go ahead.
One, what do we think that Solder gets on the open market?
I mean, Cam Fleming got $4 million last year for 1 year, so way less than that. 2.5 at max, in my opinion.
I would think he's somewhere between the 6 and 7 range, just because of the longevity and because of his being a veteran at the
– I mean, if we save the $10 million, that would bring him to about 6 anyways. So
That's where I was going with that too. So, I mean, if they were able to give him a pay cut to $6 million – I still think that would be decent market value for him. And that saved the Giants quite a bit of money. That would get them a lot closer. So real quickly, Tino, yes or no? Is Nate Solder on this team come the start of the season?
I think he is.
Murph, yes or no?
I think Nate Solder is a Giant.
All right. So now that moves on to the next question then. What do the Giants do on this offensive line? Will Hernandez is going into his last season as a New York Giant. Got benched last year in favor of Shane Lemieux. And let's face it, Shane Lemieux wasn't exactly the best guard available for the New York Giants as well. They were both better in the run game, horrid in the pass protection. So what does this offensive line look to you going forward, Tino?
We have to draft offensive linemen is what this means. I mean, simply as that. We haven't done my mock. We've done your mock, but we talked about it kind of off the record. But I think all of us are in consensus. If we don't address offense in the first round, I think the offensive line will be addressed in the first round. And if it's not addressed in the first round, it'll be addressed in the second round. So it's like it's got to be a 1 or 2. The offensive line has to be addressed. I personally am looking for a center in the second round, maybe even a guard to just compete with Nick Gates. We've talked about it on the show already. I'm not comfortable with Gates at center. I'll just throw the plot twist out. I love Landon Dickerson. I think that'd be a great fit in the second
round. The Giants also took 3 offensive linemen last year.
Yeah, and I think they should continue to go that route. I mean, we were behind the 8 ball. We still are. And look, we talked about it last episode with the idea that Zeitler might not be on this team. if the idea of Will Hernandez and Shane Lemieux being our starting guards doesn't terrify the fucking crap out of you, there's something seriously wrong with you. Dandy's on a prove it year. We finally got a clean pocket for him last year, sparingly at times. And it'll be the opposite of that this year if you're looking at the interior of the line as Will, Nick Gates, and Lemieux. I'm sorry. I know they can get better, but I mean, all those guys just aren't the best in pass pro. So we got to bolster it through the draft and, you know, see what else we can do from there. And don't we have, why don't you guys mention him? Harrison, right? We do have Harrison at center. So look, competition on the line is not a bad thing, but honestly, we'll get to it in the clown of the week, but we're a young line. We have a very young line. So we're rough around the edges. Will might not be here longer. So we just got to continue to build, man. We are far from being over on reconstructing this offensive line.
So you alluded to it. I was going to wait and I'll get Murph the floor, but that is something that I mentioned right after we signed Jonathan Harrison. I said that I think there is more to this signing than meets the eye. A lot of people have disagreed with me. Some people have agreed with me. I said at the time, and I have the receipts to prove it, that I think Jonathan Harrison is our starting center come the beginning of the season. Because if you're looking for cap space, the only way to do that was to get rid of Solder or Zeitler. And they chose to get rid of Zeitler. So now you move Nick Gates back to right guard, where he played really well. And then you start Harrison at center. I don't think you lose much going from Zeitler to Gates at right guard. I don't think you lose much either going from Gates to Harrison at center. If you leave Gates at center and you put Shane Lemieux at right guard, I think you're losing quite a bit going from Zeitler to Shane Lemieux, especially in pass protection. So right now, if the Giants don't happen to sign anybody else, there were rumors out there that they could be in on Joe Thuney, which again has that Patriots connection with Joe Judge. I think that's going to be too expensive for us. I don't think we dabble in that market. I agree with you, Tino. I think they're going to be looking for offensive line help in the draft. But hey, if not, it is what it is. Andrew Thomas is my star on left tackle. Will Hernandez at left guard. Harrison at center. Gates at right guard. Solder at right tackle. Murph?
I mean, I've been on your team with that the whole time, man. Again, everybody's job's up for grabs, and I think there's going to be a lot of rotation. And we saw it with the DBs last year. We saw it with the defense a lot in the spring or in the summer. There's going to be cross-training. Joe Judge loves cross-training, so – Gates could play every single position on the line in spring or in summer ball. I mean, dude, that's what we know that that's what Joe Judge likes to do in the first place. He likes versatile players. So I'm not handing Nick Gates the center's position on paper. I'm handing him obviously a starting position, but you're thinking he could slide out to guard? Shit, I think he could slide back out to tackle like he did in college. So I think there's going to be a lot of movement, and this is all shaping up to be like we said all start, or all offseason long. It's like nobody's job is really safe, man. Like on that offensive unit, there's really not many guys that have a safe job. Let's be real. And then they got even like less safe this week with Zeitler being cut. So I don't know. And then something that's at the back of my head like thinks that Gettleman's going to try to do some crazy shit on the other line.
Like I saw something really interesting today, too, but they said that Matt Pert played guard at UConn.
Yeah, my boy Sean said that he's a big NASCAR guy, so it looks like his page is a NASCAR page, but he's real big into college scouting football, and he was big on Pert last year, but, I mean, you're going to put a 6'5 dude at guard?
Look, I also want to jump out in front of this because I had a Dolphins fan on the New York Football Pod this week. And actually, hearing how glaringly happy Dolphins fans are from the production of Ereck Flowers and what they're getting out of him at a guard, I'm just saying. I'm not saying they're the same person. But what I'm saying is make lemonade if you got lemon sometimes. If you got big bodies, you know, if you can get something out of a 6'5 dude at guard, that'll only benefit you. Say that again.
Matt Pert, 6'7, not 6'5.
You're on to something, though, Tino. Let's try things we never tried in the past.
But somebody did bring up an interesting point, though. And, Tino, I agree with you. I thought Ereck Flowers should have been moved to guard a lot sooner.
Yes. Halfway through his second season, the writing was on the wall. Halfway through the first season, we knew it.
try and salvage a first round pick. It doesn't matter if they're not a good tackle.
And what bothered me is they never tried.
Right.
Like, try it. Nope. Utilize. I mean, I think what hurts too, I mean, hopefully we get preseason this year, but that's the time to try to get guys out there and get game reps at those positions. So hopefully we do get preseason, because I think, you know, and last year we saw it, they love rotating linemen. If they're going to do it, give everyone a shot everywhere, all of them. And that means with Gates outside of center, and that means with Pert at guard.
So here's the thing, though, about Pert at guard, though, and somebody brought up this point, and it's an interesting one. He's 6'7", 318 pounds. He's probably a more athletic tackle. I don't know if he has the weight necessarily to play guard, but what the fuck is that going to do for Danny when you got a 6'7" guard standing straight up? I mean, you're talking about an extra 4 inches that Danny has to get that ball over. Does that change the trajectory of his passing? I mean, you're talking about right in the middle of that lane there.
Truthfully, though, I mean, most of those passes are going to Evan Engram anyway, so they'll probably be dropped. I mean, Danny works outside the numbers. So it's like, yeah, it could a little bit. But I think, too, in a situation like that, we have to see Pert at guard, because if we do keep Solder, are we just going to not play him? He has to see somewhere on the field at some point, no? And there's no way he can play guard. And people thought he couldn't even play right tackle, but that's probably the spot he'd have to play. I'm not saying he's going to play it well, but they're going to give him a shot. So, and I don't want to see Pert not play again, especially for someone who's underperforming, and you know, like an underperforming veteran like Cam Fleming last year. So it's got to be something in the back of their minds. There's no way they can't not be thinking about it, because you got to get these guys on the field.
So first of all, did not know Pert was from, literally from Jamaica. I did not know that. Cool stat. But he started every single game at guard in college. And I know, obviously, we're talking about his height, being a guard there and stuff. Both quarterbacks that played behind him threw for 1,000 yards, or excuse me, rushed for 1,000 yards. They were 6 foot each. I mean, I'm not going to put it out of question, dude. We got to get creative, right? I'm trying to figure out how many actual games, period, he started at guard. I can't find that out, unfortunately. But, hey. Now's the time, man. Just like you said, you know, we got to get Danny upright. And I'm not giving anyone the job, and I don't think Joe Judge is either, besides probably Andrew Thomas. Like, literally that entire offensive line besides Andrew Thomas, the rest of the right side is completely fluid, in my opinion.
It's crazy to me to think about how, like, last year – and, you know, I still get excited about the prospects we have, how terrifying that is. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's fucking scary. And then we talk so much about the wide receiver position. It's like, dude, we don't have, like, this whole Kenny Golladay shit. I know we're going to get into all this stuff, but, like, paying a wide receiver $17 million, like, I don't know that that answers everything.
And you want to know what's crazy? An underlining thing that lucked out for us last year, we were healthy on the offensive line.
Thank you, Tino. I've literally been beating that drum
That's
for so long.
That's best case scenario. And we're still thin.
And we're never, ever, ever healthy on the O-line in New York.
I mean,
I can't remember a year where we were before last year.
Yeah, no.
There's always something. I mean, shit, you go back to Justin Pugh days, he was starting at a different position every single week.
Mm-hmm.
I keep banging that drum because it's like, dude, like, we didn't have much go wrong. Or much go right on offense last year, but the one thing that did go right was our injuries on the O-line. Like, literally, probably the only positive I can think of, with the exception of the run game. And, I mean, that's just not going to happen every single year. It's not going to happen. So, I know we're all happy about getting the cap savings out of Zeitler, but got to replace it. Have to. No options. We can't roll into this year with this young-ass line, dude. I'm not loving it.
Yeah, that, I mean, look, we capped it in a whole episode. It's just like, yeah, well, we got to make savings. Like, I'd rather us cut Solder, but it's like, if we cut Zeitler, I mean, it's glaringly obvious there are now holes. I mean, there are serious holes. Just in terms of, like, yeah, maybe we'll be able to run a little bit better, but, you know, maybe that gets Saquon going. But for me, it's like, Saquon's almost secondary. Like, the quarterback is, like, we have to make sure Danny's okay. Like, we have to take care of the king, protect the damn king, And yeah, we still need to get him weapons, but like, who gives a shit about weapons if he doesn't have any time to throw? So, you know, unless Will and Shane drastically improve, we need help still.
I don't think it's out of question they're going to be shopping on the market. High or low, no idea. But, I mean, they're not going to roll in the year with all these young guys, especially in a make or break a year. Somebody else is coming. Somebody.
So do we want to talk about free agents? Just about
something? Well, yeah, we can talk a little bit about – I want Mage to go on his little tangent about his little wide receiver in New England that he wants.
Oh, N'Keal Harry.
I'm on board, man.
It's not my wide receiver.
Well, you made the big stir about it. I don't disagree with it.
I did. And the only reason why is because it seems like
makes sense.
See, people hate me because they think I just come up with ridiculous shit just to say ridiculous shit. And that's not the case at all. Right? The Giants right now, we talked about the cap situation. They have $3.2 million in cap. All right.
This is flowing perfectly into the situation, by the way, because we just talked about how we don't have any money. And now let's think about this in a smart, financially sound way.
So, even if we were to lower Soldier's cap hit to $6 million, frees up another $10 million, right? So now, great. With $13 million under the cap, guess what? You're not getting fucking Kenny Golladay for $13 million, and you're not getting anybody else. Forget, you're not even going to have money to sign your draft class. All right? It's just not happening. It's not. But there was a rumor going around that apparently the New England Patriots were fielding calls on N'Keal Harry. Well, guess what? N'Keal Harry is 6'4", 225 pounds. The type of wide receiver that we were looking for. A guy that can go up, kind of high point of football. He has the height. He has the build. I have gotten a lot of hate for what I put out there. Only because they're saying, great, that's all we need is another wide receiver that can't separate. All right, I get that. He did run a 4.5 40, so he doesn't have great speed, but he has enough speed. Guess who else ran a 4.5? Corey Davis.
CeeDee Lamb.
So, I mean, the narrative isn't there. So the two important things is his cap hit with the New England Patriots – is 2021, he has a $2.8 million cap hit. And in 2022, he has a $3.2 million cap hit. Our boy at CLT underscore NY corrected that because if he's traded, New England pays the bonus money. So he becomes even cheaper for us. So instead of us paying him $5.9 million, we're only going to be paying him $3.2 million over 2 years. If you're looking for a cheap option, that's a cheap option.
I also want to jump in here, Mage, and just touch on the fact that, you know, people are worried about another receiver that doesn't create separation. That's not everything. You can get a guy who can make contested catches. I'm not saying N'Keal Harry is exactly that, but I think everyone's very narrow-sided with this, where it's like,
yeah. That's a great point. Let me finish real quick, and then you can go on. But great. Tino's. I don't know what your catch rate was, Tino, but I do know what N'Keal Harry's catch rate was. So his catch rate in 2020 was 56.9%. Immediately you say, oh my God, that's disgusting. He can't catch a football. Well, guess what? His true catch rate was 86.8%. People will say, well, what's a true catch rate? It takes away all the errant throws by a quarterback that would have otherwise not been catchable by the wide receiver, right? So a ball that sails 10 yards over a wide receiver's head out of bounds, he was never catching that, but he was still targeted. So that goes towards his catch rate, which brings his percentage down. But when you take out those errant throws, it increases the catch rate. So it's actual passes that he was able to catch. 86.8, that's a great catch rate. Tino! Contested catch rate. He had a 71.4% contested catch rate last year in 2020. Guess what, Tino? That was best for seventh in the NFL.
I like that. Yeah, I take it. See, I was a receiver once upon a time. Look at me. Not very fast, but I can make catches in traffic. And again, that's at a high school level, but still, listen, dabble real quick. Well, at the NFL level too, you don't need the breakaway speed. Look, Danny's name is Danny Dimes for a reason. He throws dimes. He fits it into those windows. He fits it into your pocket. So you don't necessarily need the separation. He force feeds Evan Engram the ball in traffic. Engram doesn't catch it. If you can get a guy who doesn't necessarily have the separation, and this is just, I guess, defending the Harry argument, but at a cost-effective price that can catch in traffic, although he doesn't necessarily separate, can fit that XY receiver receiver out at the numbers, I mean, it makes sense. We have to look at these options. I'm not saying he's the best option, but it's not too bad. I mean, right now, again, just go over the numbers. Who are we to say we can get any of these guys at this particular moment? We can't even sign our best player. So I don't know. I don't know where people think the money's coming from to get some of these big guys. But I also do know, I mean, N'Keal Harry aside, there are some other big name veteran receivers out there that are getting cut. Emmanuel Sanders is one of them. I mean, there are people dropping like flies. So I think we're going to have more options than it appears right now. If we don't get the big fishes, I do think there are other guys out there that can kind of help this team and bolster this wide receiver core. But I do still think we got to address it in the draft. Just line and receiver.
By the way, Tino, I just want to know that I heard about the legend of you. You used to be known as the high school Wayne Corbett.
Yeah, high school Wayne Corbett. I caught one touchdown in my life, but, you know, it's one.
Yeah,
one season. Only played one season at receiver, but I caught one touchdown.
You know, you were that guy, though, that would just catch a ball in traffic, get walloped. That probably explains all the CTEs.
I was the two-point conversion Wayne Corbett because I did catch, like, over a handful of two-point conversions that year. So, you know, it shows up in the stat sheet, but not in the best way possible. So, yeah, at two-point conversions, I was Wayne Corbett.
Back to Harry, though, real quick, right? So people are just all over this. Like, this is absolutely disgusting. Don't want him. Obviously, you've never seen him play. Guess what, guys? This team needs more than one wide receiver. Can we just have a guy that's fucking 6'4" that can play outside, right? And then guess what? If Waddle available with the 11th pick, take Waddle. Somebody that has the speed that can stretch the field so that this way you could throw contested catches to N'Keal Harry. Or, God forbid, the 6'6" Kyle Pitts is available with the 11th pick. Draft him then, all right? I'm not saying it just ends with N'Keal Harry. It doesn't have to, but it can at least start with him. $3.2 million over 2 years, guys. Over 2 years. You're not getting that with Galladay. And Galladay's missed time also. So, I don't know. But I think it makes sense. I know other people will throw out their different trade scenarios, but this one, I think, has actual legs because of the connection to the New England Patriots with Joe Judge. Joe Judge was also a wide receivers coach with the New England Patriots, with N'Keal Harry. So this makes sense.
I mean, it's a dart throw, but it's a cheap dart throw. I'd rather give up a 6th-round pick or a 7th-round pick for N'Keal Harry than sign Emmanuel Sanders to some nice vet deal. I mean, again, we are in a financial situation. So I get why people are frustrated with your thinking, Maze, but at the end of the day, you're thinking with a financial hat on, not a talent hat. He was a first-round pick for a reason. I don't care what anyone says. Every single talking head was all over his nuts pre-draft. So, I mean, the kid can play football. I'm not going to hold Cam Newton against him. Cam Newton fucking blows. Now, he did play with the GOAT the year before, and it seemed like he came on a little bit at the end of the year, but I think he was hurt for the beginning of the year and then didn't really get to play until the end, and then Brady was gone. So I'm not judging N'Keal Harry on a full season with Cam Newton's bum ass, who was probably the worst quarterback in the NFL. And, by the way, probably going to be a Redskin.
Yeah, in 2019, he started the season on IR. He only started 5 games that season, played in 7. Only saw 24 targets with Tom Brady, caught 12. So, again, his catch rate is low there. But also, too, New England never really utilized him. New England doesn't utilize these large targets unless they're at tight end. They run a lot of seam routes with their tight end. Everything else is basically crossing patterns or outs or comebacks with, you know, Julian Edelman or Wes Welker. I mean, you know, They had other guys like this also.
Yeah, well, I was going to say they were also one of the most run-heavy offenses in the league. I mean, other than Jacoby Myers, really no one offensively outside really had any success. I mean, even their running back. So, I mean, even in terms of fantasy, but overall, I mean, outside of Cam Newton on the ground, really they weren't very good at anything last year. So, I don't know. I wouldn't really look at those numbers as anything more than just, you know, a small sample size. I think the potential is there. He was a first-round pick, and, you know, again, not a bad dart throw. If it's a dart throw, for all the reasons I liked Corey Coleman when we signed him on what he could do, low risk, high reward kind of thing, I think N'Keal Harry is the same kind of guy. And again, we can draft some big guys later in the draft.
You know, just for comparative purposes, so Corey Davis started 9 games in 2007, had 375 yards, 34 receptions. N'Keal Harry started 9 games in 2020, 309 yards, 33 receptions. I mean, they're pretty much the same type of wide receiver. And, you know, Corey Davis dropped off after his sophomore year. I'm sorry. He had 891 sophomore year, 601 third year in the NFL, and now he had a really good year, 984, and he's probably going to get paid for that. So I agree with you guys. I think it's a low-risk kind of dart throw. Do I want to give up any draft picks this year? No. Right? So the other question was, well, what do you give up for him? I'll give up a 2022 pick. Maybe I'll swap picks this year and then give up a pick the following year. But we're not in the business of just giving away picks this year, though, either. So I like N'Keal Harry if we can get him on the cheap. And look, you can still draft another offensive playmaker at 11. There is nothing wrong with adding more weapons to his arsenal for Danny Dimes. So, Murph?
I'm with you, man. We got to be smart this offseason. I kind of want to roll into the rest of the wide receiver corp and free agency for a second. You know, obviously we all know what happened this past week with the franchise tags and stuff, but worst possible news for the Giants, man. Worst possible news for Allen Robinson and Godwin to get those tags, because now that makes Kenny Galladay's value go up, which makes Corey Davis's value go up, which makes bum-ass Juju's value go up. That's for you, JP. And which makes Curtis Samuel's value go up.
The Steelers came out and said that they're not placing a tag on Bud Dupree.
Okay, I'm talking wide receivers for a second.
Hold 1 second. But there was no mention of Juju.
Yeah, because he's not worth 18 mil.
It was a given. That was a given that Juju wasn't coming back. Why even acknowledge it?
Well, no, he said he wants to go back.
Why else want to pay him like he's a wide receiver one?
Because he's it's contingent in his contract that
he's Robin, not a Batman.
He also likes to dance to Corvette too much. That's the underlying factor.
He's going to get paid, man. It doesn't really matter because all these guys are going to get paid. Curtis Samuel's going to get over.
Dance to Corvette, so.
What did you say, Vish?
Murph also likes to dance to Corvette.
I don't even know what the fuck that is, bro. No idea.
It's his dance. It's the dance.
No idea. Don't want to know. Don't care. But, again, I mean, that's just a crime. Like, those franchise tags are going to get these guys completely overpaid. That's the one thing, and I hate to back up and go back to Leo, but that's the one thing with Leo is his position doesn't really have much of a market.
Receivers, Murph.
I know we are, and I'm going to put this back in, but with Leo, he doesn't really have much of a market amongst his peers. Like, there's not many other interior defensive linemen out there. The market for wide receivers is completely saturated, so the minute everyone gets a deal, it's just going to continue to go up. I mean, I really think we're out of the price tags of Kenny Galladay and Corey Davis. I do. I hate it because it's all we've talked about, but I just don't know how the hell that's going to happen, man. That's why, you know, they can rage about the N'Keal Harry, and it's just an example, but you know, that's probably the avenue that we need to be taking. And like the O-line, we're fucking stuck in the mud, man. Stuck in the mud. But, you know, this Kyle O'Brien hiring is kind of interesting to me. I don't know about you guys. There's a Joe Judge connection there. People are raging about the Kenny Galladay connection. So what do you guys think about that hire?
Welcome to the New York Patriots.
For real.
So
welcome to the New York Joe Judges. It's more like
Bill Belichick is coming soon, too. I've heard. Oh, somebody has personally told me that, so.
Yep.
Bill Belichick will be here soon.
Yep.
But
No, but for our viewers, you know, we looked this up before we got on. I guess O'Brien does have a connection with Judge. He worked for Bill Belichick for almost 10 years. Went down to Jacksonville for a little bit, and then Bob Quinn brought him up with Patricia to Detroit. So, like the rest of our hires, man.
Also responsible for scouting Allen Robinson.
Correct. Allen Robinson in Jacksonville. So,
and Kenny Galladay in Detroit.
So, all in all, if we don't get those two guys, at least we have a guy who knows how to scout wide receivers.
Well, you brought up an interesting point, and this was something that I've also brought up to our boy Chris, was is there more to this? So he's being hired as, was it the vice president, director of personnel? Wasn't that the same position that both Gettleman and Jerry Reese had at one point before they became GMs? So
maybe, don't know about Reese, but definitely get Dave, yeah.
Maybe Kevin Abrams kind of stays in the background, continues to work contracts, and maybe this Kyle O'Brien guy who also went to Harvard is being groomed to be the next Giants GM.
I don't really buy the Kevin Abrams stuff, so yeah, I'm more likely to believe that, honestly. If Kevin Abrams was being groomed to be the GM, they'd be getting him in front of the cameras a lot more than we see.
Yeah, he's
but not- last year, when it was Zoom time, when they weren't doing conferences, he did get on with Gettleman after the free agency signings. But again, financial. So, do we even know if Kevin Abrams can evaluate talent? Or is he just a numbers guy? So that O'Brien thing, it's pretty interesting to think about when you look at the whole picture.
Well, Kevin,
God, I fucking love Joe Judge, man.
I can never tell when you're fucking done with a sentence.
Sorry.
You take like a 5-second pause and then you just keep going.
Just some wandering mind.
Every
man.
Single time. It's been going on for a year and I still have no idea.
So anyways, well, Murph said he loves Joe Judge, and I think that'd be the perfect segue to talk about the press conference a little bit here, because that did happen. And I just want to start it with this. I don't even want to touch on anything they exactly said yet. But I've never seen two polar opposite people, whereas you love everything Joe Judge can say and how he says it and delivers it. And then right after him, Dave Gettleman comes on, and pretty much anything Dave Gettleman says, everyone will lose their mind over. So everyone's in a consensus that they all love Joe Judge and everything he says, and then Gettleman talks and everyone hates everything he says. So it's just like a yin and yang. It's very yin and yang.
Real quickly, Tino, I'm sorry to cut you off. Jerry Reese was a director of player personnel prior to taking a general manager position with the New York Giants.
Cool. No, yeah. So all I was getting at is that press conference was interesting. I pretty much got nothing out of it. And then, the Zeiler news followed. do we want to talk about it now? Do we want to address the elephant in the room now, or are we going to, do you want to say?
Well, let's talk about Joe's first. Let's talk about Joe's. Okay. Actually, this question is for you, my man. How did you feel about those Evan Engram comments? Because I wanted to just turn the whole fucking thing off right when that happened. Uh-huh. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't turn it off. Mage called me. He was like, did you watch it? I was like, no, I turned Joe off after you started talking about Engram.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I watched Dave more than Joe, honestly. And yeah, I mean, it disgruntled the shit out of me, but I wasn't surprised. I mean, dude, we faced this reality a while ago to ourselves. I mean, if he was going to go anywhere, man, it would have been done. Would have been done. And it's not. And so that's under all this money issues that we have right now, that's the underlining thing. We have Engram, we have Saquon, we have Danny looming. So when the fuck does that happen?
Peppers, yeah. Too.
So like, where are those priorities and where is that money coming from? I don't know.
I mean, it sounds like there is talk that Saquon, they're going to see if they can possibly pick up that option this summer.
I think they are going to do that.
I think they are too, but like.
Somebody came out and said that the price tag for keeping them with the fifth year option is $7.2 million because of the whole COVID situation. That's a no brainer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it dropped. It went from 10 to 7.2.
That's a no brainer at this point. You keep them for 7.2. You got what to do long term.
I think our bigger issue next summer will be Peppers. And that's the one that's pissing me off because, well, Engram, whatever, dude, fuck it, I'm over it. But if we're keeping Peppers, like, prime restructure extend candidate right now, or not restructure, prime extension. I mean, we got to make money, man. We got to make money somehow. And Peppers is going to want a deal next year. I don't care what anyone says. I mean, I'm not in the business of paying him a lot, but he's going to want it. I mean, if he continues to play like he's been playing the last 2 years. So, I don't know, man. There's a lot of ways for this team to make money, but they haven't done that yet.
See, the issue with Peppers now is going to be, you know, it's going to come down to Graham and where they view the depth of this team. I mean, some would say that safety is kind of, I mean, granted Peppers is a large and part of that, but you know, with McKinney coming up, there's some depth there. I mean, I'm not saying Jabril's expendable. He's an in the box safety that, you know, he's grown a lot, but you know, if McKinney shows a lot this year, it's going to put pressure on Peppers. So yeah, I don't know. I think Peppers is going to be the odd man out. We talked about this too, just to circle back to Saquon too. It wasn't a surprise, and we've talked about this, but you know, they're going to be timid until he's back on the field in terms of contract negotiations or extensions. Yeah. I mean, that's not a surprise, but you know, there are so many underlining things with this fucking team. Mm-hmm. There are so many what ifs, and you know, if this happens and if that happens, that. Dude, each time I think about it, it's like it scares the shit out of me. There's a window there, and we need to figure it the fuck out. We really do. And like, speaking of windows, if we're talking about the press conference when Gettleman was talking about the window and he started talking about Microsoft.
I like Microsoft Windows. Now, just to touch back on that safety point though too, like, here's my concern. I know it's easy for us to say on paper, yeah, we got McKinney and we got Logan Ryan and whatever, I'm still in the book that Love can play safety, but
same.
Jabril Peppers is 25 years old.
Yeah,
Logan Ryan isn't going to be here forever. He's a nice leader right now. He's a nice addition. I love that he's here. I love that we paid him, but he's 30 years old. I mean, how long is he going to be able to kick the can being a safety? I mean, he's already had a switch from his normal position to being a safety. So whatever, I guess he's a slot corner too, but Y'all know what I'm saying. And, Logan's kind of more like a placeholder.
Yeah.
Kind of to be that veteran presence for them too. But I think we need Pep, man. I do. And, like, now's the time. Just do it.
It makes too much sense to extend him. And you're right. He's another guy that's playing for his money. And he's a homegrown guy. I mean, not obviously homegrown, but he's from here. He's from Jersey. Played in that stadium 4 times in his life for a state championship. Won all of those. So I want him to be a Giant for a while. I don't know. I'm still adjusting to this new regime. Like, everyone's jumped on Gettleman from the second he's been here. He's so unpredictable that I really don't know where their head's at sometimes. The press conference, I gain nothing from that entire thing. I really couldn't tell you where they were leaning one way or another, other than they are standing by Danny, they're waiting for Saquon, and they're fucking going to continue to throw the ball to Ingram this season despite our best efforts.
I don't know. So that's fine, man. I don't want them to tell us anything.
Why does anyone think that these people are going to come out and just suddenly reveal their plan anyway?
Joe Judge is an expert at this from New England. You learned from Bill. You think Bill's telling anyone anything? Hell no.
This is another thing that just goes back to Saquon. He showed his hand from Saquon, so now they nitpick every single time he kind of shows his hand. So every single time he speaks, he shows his hand, per se.
So our boy Chris has said about the Gettleman presser that don't look at what he said. Look at what he said. But he said, look at who he didn't mention versus who he did mention. Gettleman talked about having big plans for Matt Peart. He talked about a few players. He talked about Tay Crawford. So he talked about some of these plays. He said, be careful about who he didn't mention in the presser. So he didn't mention Solder. He didn't mention Zeitler. This is Gettleman. So, and we saw that Zeitler was eventually cut as well. So he said, be careful who he's not mentioning. Whoever he's not mentioning probably isn't safe.
He did mention, was it him or Joe that mentioned Tomlinson? One of them did.
It wasn't Gettleman.
I think it was Joe at the end of his.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about that. I mean, DT's still sitting out there.
Yeah.
He's not going to have a market, man.
No one's saying a thing about Dalvin.
He's not going to have a market. He doesn't generate sacks.
Does he return back to the Giants?
I kind of, like, think he does. And I also think, like, you know, it's not going to shock me, but what if they get a long-term deal with Leo Dunn? Will they slap Dalvin with the tag? Can they? Well,
that's the thing. I don't think they can. They already
– is it too late?
Yeah, it was – the deadline passed, so –
Hey, man, as long as Dalvin stays out of news, that's cool with me. But there has been some stuff out there about the Patriots being interested. They love their big tackles. Look, I love Dalvin. Just not going to pay for him, man. Just not going to pay for him. And I don't think it's the juice is worth the squeeze, especially with our situation right now. You got to ask yourself, can you get by on the O-line and wide receiver, or can you get by a DT? Not Dalvin Thompson, defensive tackle. And okay. I think that's really where we have more of the depth to get away with covering that up than on the other line and wide receiver positions.
Yeah, because they'll be able to use Austin Johnson on early downs if they really want to run stopper.
Well, he's a free agent.
Yeah, but they brought him on – he wouldn't cost a cent. I mean, there's a good chance they'd be able to bring him back on nothing. But
he's a Spence guy too, so –
Yeah. Yeah, they had him just because last year. A massive human being. So that's like an early down guy. And you could bring Sexy Dexy in later on. So, but still, and if it's not Johnson, there are certain run stoppers in there that can do the job Dalvin did. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not trying to underestimate what Dalvin did, but, you know, serves the same purpose. And we still do have Dexter. So.
And we all know Geddy's licking his chops to draft a defensive tackle at some point in his time here. So. And we got McIntosh and Hill to offer. Hey, man, but that's the fucking other guy. Like, here you go. Like, we go back to Solder and we're talking about how comfortability and stuff and the health issues coming into it. Well, it makes sense why McIntosh is around. He had that heart issue from the start. I mean, this is what the Giants do with their guys, man. They take care of them. When they have things that are going on outside of football, the Giants have always been known to take care of their guys. That's the only reason for me why he would be on the roster still. He barely even plays.
But you're right. And there are a couple interior defensive linemen that I actually like in this draft too. I think what's his name? Alim McNeil from North Carolina State, I believe it is. It's a really good interior defensive lineman too. So, and he can also get sacks. I like him, but I think he's going to be gone by the time that we draft in the third. I think he's going to go probably second round. He's a guy that I really like. But, outside of that, I think we pretty much covered everything. We just need to get back to an oldie but goodie.
Yeah.
So, Murph, we're going to reintroduce the clown of the week. And that is
Mr. Ken Jones himself. Oh, excuse me. Hold on. Spell check. Autocorrect. Kim Jones. Mrs. Kim Jones. What a fucking load of crap in that conference, man. Like, I get it. Like, I know the media has their job. I know that they have their questions asked. But when you double down on it and you're fucking wrong, like, come on, man. Like, you're just a dumbass. You literally called for all that hate on yourself. I mean, it's one thing to call out the GM and be right, but, like, you can't sit here and say we don't have a young line. Yeah, we have Zegler and Solder on the roster at the time, but, like, we literally spent, what, 3 draft picks last year on linemen? No, just 2. No, 3, yeah. 3. And now Zegler's gone, so what's the average of the O-line now? 24, if that. So, Mrs. Ken Jones has a little bit of an accounting problem, but and then she goes and doubles down on it again this morning on Twitter, just basically trying to get the skeletons back out of the closet again and really re-up on it. But it's just dumb, man. The narrative with Gettleman, it'll never change, ever. He's always wrong in the media's eyes. And the best part is all these fucking shills coming out to back Kim Jones, when we all know Kim Jones is just horrible what she does, right? I mean, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just an asshole.
Well, Clapback Sports is officially a Ken Jones stand account. It's officially a Ken Jones stand account. What were you saying, Mesh?
No, I said Murph is an asshole.
Correct.
So, I mean, but that I'm not going to debate.
New York media is complete dog shit.
Well, so no, I have a question for you guys. We all know Ken Jones is not a great reporter. Would you rather read a transcript from her press conference questions or read a Dr. Seuss book? What's more problematic?
I'd rather watch Pepe Le Pew.
Pepe Le Pew? Is that Pepe Le Pew's cousin?
Or maybe Speedy Gonzalez, play with Mr. Potato Head.
You're talking about
I'm not sure. So many options. But I don't want to read anything Ken Jones ever creates, writes, or says, to be quite honest with you. So that's just my take, Tino.
That's a whole nother thing. I mean, can we just talk about the number of people that we lost this week? I mean, we lost Pepe Le Pew. He's been taken out of New Space Jam. We lost Mr. Potato Head.
And Mrs. Potato Head. Underestimated. Mr. and Mrs. Two for the price of one on that one.
Who else got canceled this week?
None. Well, Murph's been canceled too.
Well, Clapback got canceled by Ken Jones, but nobody saw it, which was great. So just proves even more no one likes fucking Ken Jones. But Speedy Gonzalez was canceled.
Yep.
Yeah. And Dr. Seuss, like Tino said.
Oh, Dr. Seuss. Yep. That's right.
But Dr. Seuss comes with a lot of characters, man.
Dr. Seuss was another one.
Yeah, only like 25 books of Dr. Seuss got canceled, but that's still a good amount. Still a good amount.
Well, I think that's going to wrap up this episode of Clapback Sports. Thank you, everybody, for listening.